is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I want to bring you some extra nuggets of truth and go to an area that not many preachers go to. Not many of us are very keen to get involved in whatever is the apostle talking about. He talks of jealousy, and he's so jealous of you. The object of the exercise today, as far as we're looking at this, is found in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I will say this to you. If I say 2 Corinthians, that is what I mean. Though some people say the second letter of Paul to the church at Corinth, we have some different ways of saying it, but it's the same thing. And I go to 2 Corinthians and chapter 11 today, and I want to take the first few verses, for the Apostle Paul speaks in a very personal way. And I want to look at this good news, for it is wonderful news. Now, let me take a little rabbit trail and say to you with love that we have a wonderful Lord. We must follow him. But preachers have sort of usurped an authority that doesn't really click along with the scriptures. And so we have a lot of charlatan type people who are pretending to be preachers, who are hopefully getting on bandwagons and raising money and all that sort of thing instead of the pureness of the gospel. Now, the apostle here says, look, I'm so concerned and I'm terribly jealous of you because I brought you into this spiritual world. As I did so, I brought to you the gospel, the good news of being a preacher. I wish that you would bear with me for a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me. Now he's talking here in this first verse of being foolish, telling a story, as it were, in foolishness, and trying to get a smile on the faces of some of the people that are listening. He obviously has got the attention, and he says, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. Now he speaks of something that few people understand. A lot of preachers seem to think that they are the be-all and end-all. And my dear friends, I would say to you this, only humility can bring authority. Otherwise, we have a raw authority that becomes an authoritarianism. We then turn away from Jesus. We turn away from the simplicity of the gospel and the beauty of his love and the kindness of his righteousness and so on. We turn away. Because authoritarianism is not authority at work. The authority that God speaks of in all the epistles and in the gospels is the authority that he gives to those who are very humble. Jesus said, "My Father answers my prayers because he knows I keep his commands. I am humble." Jesus was saying, the humility that I live with is beautiful. I want you to have the same humility. I want you to be sure that you are humble. It's terribly important for us to understand this, and it's enormously important for us to put into practice because, says the apostle here, I've done something for you in the preaching of God's word that nobody else can do. And I have presented you as a betrothed dear one to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm presenting you as a chaste virgin, that is, I am giving you the opportunity to stand before Christ with no blemishes, none at all. There is nothing wrong, nothing is going to go wrong, because you're a chaste or purified person. Now, we don't use this sort of language today very much, but I betrothed you to one husband. Who is that? So that to Christ I might present you a pure person, someone who is completely pure. And then he goes on and says, but I am afraid that, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. Now, some people say, how do we know that there are male and female? We know it because Satan is called his. It's the proper noun that shows us that Jesus, the Apostle Paul, and God the Father understood Satan as a him. He was a he. So let's not get into the he's and she's and get ourselves in a bind, because there is a remarkable thing going to take place. I don't know how it's going to happen. I certainly don't know the workings of it. But every male and female that is born again by Jesus will become the bride of the Lord Jesus. And the Apostle Paul is laying this out. He is saying, I am afraid that, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity and devotion to Christ. It has bothered me for some years that we don't put Jesus first. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. He says, I want to be sure that you know, and I know, we all know, that the preeminence of Jesus is magnificent, and we must live so that in all things he might have the preeminence. That is, he must have the first place. He must have the first glory in my life. He must be the first person in my daily walk. Jesus has to be that. But he says, I'm afraid of something. Now, I've presented you to him with all godly jealousy, and I have presented you to him that you might somehow be outstanding in the ministry of the gospel. However, I'm frightened, and my fear is that you may have turned away. You may be going after other things. There was in his time and day a great yearning for a figurehead. Later, ships had a figurehead, and it was usually the statue carved in wood on the front bows of the ships. They had all sorts of beautiful carvings, but they worshipped those things if they weren't careful. Even the English sailors in the Royal Navy would say their prayers in the front of the ship, so that they could somehow have more contact with God. There was no need for that. The Apostle Paul says, look, I have a great boldness. I'm really not a clever person. I'm not a person who can make easy speech. In fact, my speech is very poor. But he said, in the midst of that poorness, in the midst of that weakness, God uses the humble. Now, let's look at that. Do you think God is using the humility of your heart? Do you reckon that God is really taking you to task and using what he wants? For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached? Or you received a different spirit which you have not received? Or a different gospel which you have not accepted? You bear this beautifully. Let me say this. It is easy to become distracted from the real gospel. So if there's bad news on the horizon, it's not the gospel's fault. It's man's fault. We seem to think that God's got a finger and he's going to zap us at any moment. That is not the gospel. When people tell you that there's just tribulation and suffering, and they don't tell you of the love of Jesus, and they don't tell you of the love of God, which is greater far than tongue can really tell. When people do that, understand that's not the gospel. The gospel is always good news. You're free. Can you imagine being a man who is condemned to death and sitting in a cell by himself? For a moment, imagine this. And when the hour comes for him to be taken out and hung, there's a sort of an entourage that comes. One or two soldiers, one or two legal beagles sort of thing. Then there's always a minister of some sort. And they all come with the officer who is in charge of the entire prison. And they come to collect you to go to be hung. And he's listening, sitting in this cell. And he hears the footsteps. And he knows the time. And he hears the footsteps get closer and closer. Then they get to his cell and he hears the clanging and the banging and the opening of the door. And all these people shuffle their way in. And then the president of the prison says, "I've got something that you may think is good news." So the fellow's all ears for a moment because he expects to be tied securely and shuffled out to the gallows and hung. But the president of the prison says, "You have been pardoned." Can you imagine the adrenaline that is just oozing in the veins of this man? He must almost collapse. "What do you mean, I am pardoned?" "You are pardoned for all your sin, for all the wrongness that we were going to hang you for. You are pardoned." He must just have jello for legs at that point. Have you heard the voice of Jesus quietly say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast." Have you heard that? Have you heard your soul respond, "And I came to Jesus as I was, guilty and worn and sad, and I found in him a resting place, and he made me glad"? I imagine the ecstasy of the excitement, the freedom that he suddenly had. This man just jumped for joy. Jump for joy. Go into the Gospels and read of a man with leprosy, and he can't get close to Jesus because of his leprosy. But Jesus reaches out and touches him. Jesus did the touching. Jesus didn't catch leprosy. And the man's leprosy was just whisked away, and he was free. He was free from all that the word leprosy means. And he was free from the physical, mental and spiritual meanings of that word. And I have to tell you, that must have been the most exciting moment in the ears and mind of that man. Are you free? Now, we talk a lot about the Second Amendment in these days of voting. And we want so much to be so pure in our thinking, but we're not right with God. And when you're not right with God, how can you have this freedom? How can you be so free that you can do what the Lord would have you to do? Well, you're washed in the blood. And the apostle here says, I'm presenting you as a chaste virgin, completely clean, completely and absolutely clean, pure. And I'm doing it because the gospel says I can. The good news says I can. You are presented to God Himself. Now listen to His humor, which is very dry and not very intelligent, it seems to me. For I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent of apostles. But even if I am unskilled in speech, yet I am not so in knowledge. Yet I am not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way, we have made this evident to you in all things. Or did I commit sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge? I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you. When I was present with you and was in need, I was not a burden to anyone. For when the brethren came from Macedonia, they fully supplied my need, and in everything I kept myself from being a burden to you, and will continue to do so. How many preachers today are just buried in a little church somewhere, and whatever they're paid, it is enough? How many young men in the ministry today are not looking at how much they will collect for their labors, but they expect it to be a good stipend, and they expect it to be good? I've been in pastor of churches who couldn't pay the next bill, let alone my salary, such as it was. And I've been in churches who could amply pay my salary and much more if they wanted. I was in one church and I refused to take more money simply because I didn't need it. The foolish thing I did was I should have taken that money and given it away to pastors who were starving and pastors who were having a terrible time. That had to come later. I'd learned the lesson, but I hadn't put it into effect. Ah, you see, my dear friends, we think we know everything, and we equate the ministry of the gospel, the good news, the telling of good news, to the telling of the news on the sixth hour of the evening. We equate what we know, which isn't very much, with the knowledge of the world. Don't do that. Tell people about Jesus. Tell people about His love. Tell people of how He comes into their lives and changes them. Tell people how they can be a living, bright reality for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't tell them they can earn more money if they go to this or that work. Just tell them that the Lord has laid on your heart that they are to move and go. See, when the humility takes over, the authority comes in, and the man standing in the smallest pulpit or the tiniest church has sometimes more authority than ever a man in a mega church could possibly have. It is important to understand the apostle's application of this word that he's written, and he has said, you are pure, and I present you to God as pure. He says of himself, he says, look, I go before God with boldness. I don't go begging. With boldness I go before God. With boldness I tell Him my troubles. With boldness I tell Him what's going on. with boldness, if necessary, I ask for whatever the needs are. And he talks of these people that came in from Macedonia and supplied his every need. It's a curious thing. But here I am out in the boondocks of the desert, and I love it here to live. People send me gifts and people help me, and all sorts of things take place that I'm not telling. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that God sees our humiliation and gives us what we need. It's wonderful that he cares for us. It's wonderful that he cares for me, my wife, and whoever are in this house with me. It's wonderful. You see, God works in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the waves. Oh, he does. He does. He walks on the water. We can't walk on the water. We don't walk on the water. Such miracles are beyond our ability to comprehend. But Jesus walks on the water, and he will rescue us when we think we're drowning, or when we think we're being overcome by the circumstances of life. Jesus is in love with you, a pure virgin in Christ. The purity that you have is the purity that he gave. Receive it, use it, and live it, that you might be a good testimony for our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we must stop there. But I just wanted to say to you, the good news today is that we have the opportunity to live pure lives in Christ, and that our humility will be our authority. And we cannot be authoritarian in any way. We should never look at ourselves as people who have this great authority, but we should see ourselves humbly in the Word of God. Thank you for listening. Let's pray together. Lord, we would have you, if you will, look at us and see us in our poverty, our spiritual poverty, and that you will give us the strength and the courage and the hopefulness of growing in grace sufficiently to honor you and honor your word and to be in your presence moment by moment, kept in your love. Will you watch over every person that knows you and loves you in this great and wonderful area of the Northwest? And will you please, Lord, take away all the camouflage from their hearts and minds, that the people of this area shall show the beauty of the holiness, of the purity of Jesus. We ask these things in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. Goodbye.